If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 27. The title of the message is "The Battle is the Lord's." Amen. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I think all of us know that there are sometimes we get discouraged, and I told Wednesday night that I was going to preach a message on encouragement, and maybe I don't always do that, and maybe I don't do it enough. But I can tell you that we all need encouragement. Amen. And we live in a world that's so discouraging at times. But I'm here to tell you the Lord has exactly what you need. And he will encourage us, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Maybe you remember in the Bible a lady by the name of Naomi. She had her name changed to Mara because her life had been bitter. And if there's one predominant word that would describe the feelings that I find among many pastors, church members, church leaders, it is that word discouragement. America needs to be encouraged. Amen. And I do have to sometimes, because my nature is to be more evangelistic in preaching maybe than building up. And sometimes I don't pat you on the back like maybe you'd like to be patted on the back, but I don't want to tickle your ears either. But I'm here to tell you that all of us are sinners saved by grace. And because of that, we're not perfect. And there are times we need to be reminded wherein we are falling short. But we also need to understand the good things that God's doing for us here at this church. We also need to understand the good things that God's doing in the lives of our people. God has been good to us. We're one of the few churches in the area that has had some growth, and I'm thankful for that. I don't take it for granted. It simply tells me that you as an individual are working and doing what God has called you to do, to reach out and make a difference, invite folks to come to the house of God that they might be saved. So this morning, I want to talk to you about encouragement, and the battle is the Lord. An evangelist was asked one time what he felt like was the greatest need of people today. And he said the greatest need is encouragement. People are so discouraged. He said, "I was in about 200 churches last year. And out of that 200 churches, only 6 pastors were happy. And I thought, what a shame." Sometimes members kind of get on the pastor and, you know, kind of chide him a little bit. And maybe sometimes he needs it. I don't know. But they also, you know, pastors are human, and they get down and they get blue and they get discouraged just like anybody else. One fella in the church said, "I've never seen my pastor's eyes shine. When he prays, he closes his. When he preaches, I close mine." The pastor replied to this statement by saying, "When I am dead, shed no tears, because I will be no deader then than you've been for years." Wouldn't you hate to be in a church like that? The battle is the Lord's. The theme is one of encouragement in the passage of Scripture that I have read to you this morning. And some 45 times in 18 verses of Exodus 15, we find the theme that is alluded to, that the battle is the Lord's. One preacher pastored in Hobbs, New Mexico. If you've ever been to Hobbs, it's a barren place. In fact, there are catfish out there that 7 or 8 pounds has never learned how to swim. But he said, "When I lived in Hobbs, New Mexico, I tried to water the yard with a sprinkler that was about 12 years of age. The sprinkler was just barely moving around. And as I watched the sprinkler try to work, suddenly the sky darkened and there came the biggest rainstorm," he said, "I've ever seen. As I sat there watching that sprinkler trying to work, while the rain was falling, the Lord spoke to my heart and said this, 'Do you see that old dilapidated water sprinkler? It looks like you appear in my perspective. The sprinkler is just barely going around. It's doing a mediocre job, and I, the Lord, am doing much better at what that sprinkler is supposed to be doing.'" As pastor, sometimes we find ourselves hitching up our little mechanisms, our programs, to get the work of God going, when what we really need is just to fall upon our knees in prayer and ask God for His power. Ask God for His direction. Ask God for His guidance in order to accomplish the work that He's called upon us to do. We all need to be refreshed. And I'm here to tell you that God will do more in just a few moments' time than we can do in a year. Our God is on the throne. And we think sometimes the folks that walk out the aisle, they come in one aisle. And we reach out to them, we bring them in, and they go out the other aisle. But the ones that God brings in, they stick. But not the ones that we bring in. I'm here to remind you this morning that we are a blessed people of God. I have seen the church grow. I've seen individual Christians and families grow in spirit and in truth. And that's what God wants us to do. Amen. Brother, we just can't sit by idly and do nothing. Amen. The battle is the Lord, but we are His army. Amen. And we are to pick up the whole armor of God and fight the battle that God has set before us. Sometimes preachers, you know, they want to be like somebody else. And they listen to those TV preachers and evangelists, and they try to mimic them. And I remember, you know, and I've said this before, when I was young and I heard Billy Graham preach, I thought, boy, I need to preach like Billy Graham. But a lot of their churches were not growing. You see, it's not the method, but it's the man. Amen. It's the man that is dedicated to God. The man that understands that it's not him, but it's God working in him and through him to accomplish the work that he set out for us to do. The battle is the Lord's. We have seasons of prayer for missions, but what we need is a season of prayer for our churches this morning. We need to say, God, I submit my life to you. And I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me and make me the vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. God, help me to be what you want me to be, to make a difference in the church and in the place that you have put me. A black pastor from the north told the story about the time that his grandmother heard the Ku Klux Klan horsemen outside their home. They came in, got one of her sons out of the house. He said they broke down grandmother's door. They grabbed his 17-year-old boy and dragged him behind a horse down the street, hanged him up on a tree, and shot him full of holes. Then they dragged him back, opened the front door, threw his bleeding body into the house, and apologized for saying they got the wrong one. That dear old grandmother picked up that boy, that son of hers, held him in her arms until he died. The next morning, that black woman got up to go to work. She went to the white plantation house and bathed those little white children. She cooked for the white family. It never entered her mind to put poison in the food. It never entered her mind to take the butcher knife and plunge it into the heart of one of those white boys. When she came home, the husband said, Mother, how could you go to the white man's house, wash and iron his clothes, cook his food, bathe his children when they killed your boy? She said, it's because of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And she recited the Lord's Prayer. She said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. As I am to forgive my debtors, God will forgive me. I don't have to get back. God will measure it out someday. The battle is the Lord's. Brethren, we need encouragement to know that we're not in this alone. I rejoice in the fact that we're traveling hand in hand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will take us all the way through the battles of life, all the way home. There's some here this morning that may need to change directions in your life. The battle is the Lord's. Some are trying to overcome faults in their life that's holding them down. I'm here to tell you the battle is the Lord's. Turn it over to him. Some are letting the terrible storms of today eat them up because of yesterday's dark clouds. Dad came home. They just had a baby boy. He came home, and the wife would say, you know, call the little boy's name, he's crawling today. Then he started toddling a bit, but mostly he fell. But he said, I started to pay attention to the fact that the mother never said anything about his falls. When I'd walk in the house, she would say that he took two steps today. Never said he fell 300 times today. God counts our steps, not our falls. Aren't you glad of that, that he's mindful of what you're going through? And if you do fall and if you do stumble, he'll reach down and pick you up. The battle is the Lord's. And he wants to help you to make it all the way through. And then rejoicing belongs to the redeemed. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. And then in verse 20 and 21, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hands, and all the women went out after her with timbrel and with dance. And Miriam answered them and said unto the, and say ye unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. You know, that's when they were coming out of the Egyptian bondage. And God opened and parted the Red Sea. And they walked across on dry ground. But when Pharaoh and his army, his chariot, came out after them, God let the water conveniently come back together, and they perished in the Red Sea. I'm here to tell you this morning, we serve a God who is wonderful. He is glorious. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is always here and always has the power to meet our needs. The battle is the Lord's. Well, the key to being happy and rejoicing is you must be born again. You must be born again. I'm here to tell you this morning that God made us to worship him. And when we don't do it, we'll never really be happy. All folks might have some happiness here and there, but down deep there's that yearning, that longing in their soul to do what God made them to do, and that's worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The battle is the Lord's. When you feel like not praising the Lord, what do? When you get down discouraged, what do? You just keep on praising the Lord. You see, we're not made joyful by our circumstances. We're made happy by what is within us. Paul said, I have decided in whatever state I am in to be content. I'm telling you, we're passing through. And I don't want to discourage you this morning, but all you got to do is look in a mirror and see you're getting closer to being through. You know, I look at my pictures and I pull out some, and you know, we're kind of getting things together and moving, and I want to tell you, rumors have a way of getting out, but I'm going nowhere. You know, we're moving. We sold our house, but we're not going anyplace. We're moving to Van Buren. And we're going to stay here and do what God's called us to do. So don't let somebody tell you. In fact, I had somebody at the executive board meeting at Moore. They called me up and said they heard that I was retiring and a church wanted me if I was going to. And I said, oh, no. I am here. I love it here. And I'm thankful that you allow me to be your pastor. And I'm happy to be your pastor. There's more rejoicing in heaven over that one sinner that's saved than over 99 that are safe in the fold. Beatty Smith, the great evangelist, told the story. He said, recently, while in Tennessee, I was lent an automobile and I drove out to the Grand Ole Opry. And I came in the back way and was able to get near where the celebrities entered because I was on the program. He said, I went in the back door, looked over, and saw a security guard. He asked my name. I had arrived about 30 minutes early. The security guard looked a little bit distressed, and he said, "Sir, how are you doing?" He said, "Preacher, no one ever asked me that before. I'm doing pretty good, but I have leukemia, and it's the kind that gets into your lymph glands. They're all over my body, and I probably don't have long to live." Bailey said, "I asked him, if that leukemia gets you, what's going to happen to you?" Tears came to the eyes of that black man. He said, "I know that you're probably going to ask me if I'm saved." He said, "Yes, sir. I was going to get around to that." And Bailey said, "If I stretch my hand across this counter, would you put your hand in mine as a symbol that you wanted to take Christ as your personal Savior?" He said, "Yes, sir, I would." And they prayed. And he prayed the sinner's prayer, and he asked God to come into his heart and life. At that moment, the security guard invited Christ into his heart, and after he finished praying, Bailey said he said something no one's ever said to me before after a soul-winning experience. He said, "Thank you for the courtesy. Thank you for the courtesy." He said, "I started to think about that. It is a courteous thing to invite folks to Christ. Amen. It's what we ought to be doing, inviting folks to Christ. Listen, it's jubilation time. Amen. If we're not happy this morning, something's wrong on the inside. I'm here to tell you this morning that this is rejoicing time, jubilation time. We're on the winning side, and we're almost home. We're almost home. We can see the lights. We're almost home." Well, we can watch God's miracles. An encouragement, and I think this is the best to come. It says, "And they came to Elim," in verse 27, "where were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees. And they camped there by the waters." Now remember, they went to Marah, and the waters were bitter. And the Lord said to his servant, "Cast in a tree, and it'll make it sweet." But 10 miles down the road was Elim. And Elim had 12 wells of water, one for all the 12 tribes. 70 palm trees, one each for the 70 elders. Isn't God good? He works it all out. And so they go to Elim just a few miles down the road. And God's provided for them shade, and he's provided water and sustenance. I'm here to tell you that sometimes we go through trials and burdens down here, and we don't know what to do. But there was a poem that was written that says something like this: "Go on, go on, go on. Go on, go on. Go on. Go on, go on, go on." You see, it may be bitter here. You may be in Marah here, but you don't have to stay there. Go on. Go on and on until you get out of Marah and you get to Elim. It's just a few miles down the road. Just a few miles down the road. A place of blessing. I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to go on, because the reward is at the end of the journey. The race is not over. The battle is not won. We're winning, and we're almost home, but go on. Go on. Go on. Are you going for him this morning? If not, you need to come. Here's these altars. Brethren, if you want to be happy, if you want to have joy and peace in your heart, you've got to come and let the Lord be the Lord of your life. Let him give you the joy, the peace, the contentment, that whatever happens, your joy is on the inside because of him. Will you bow with me for prayer?